This morning I got a message entitled Believing a Lie. Believing a Lie. For our text, we got a couple passages we want to look to. So if you got your Bible, it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Kind of picking up in the middle of the conversation here. Paul has a teaching, but for time's sake, we'll just pick up at verse 6. He's talking about the Antichrist, the last days, things that we're going to expect upon this earth, nearing the time of Christ's return and those things. Verse 6 says, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." You just kind of take note of that passage, "that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, verse 11 and 12. "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, going back to the book of Romans chapter 1, I want to notice a section of this chapter to go along with this. We could read the entire chapter, but again, for time's sake, we won't. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, and down through verse 28. "But because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, or instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to unto vile affections, for even their own women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men living the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or due." In verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Again there in verse 25. "Okay, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Okay, we're going to just kind of take note of those passages that man has changed the truth of God into a lie. And of course, back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read, it says that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but that they should believe a lie. Strong delusion that God says will send, and referring to the last days preceding the time of Christ's second coming, God is going to send strong delusion. Now, it doesn't really say, Paul didn't explain or give us any ways in which God is going to send this strong delusion. Only he's going to send strong delusion in that they, men, are going to believe a lie. Okay, so this morning I want to consider seven lies that people might believe that will cause them to suffer eternity in hell. or as Paul put it here, that they might be damned who believe not the truth. Okay, so what are some of the lies that men might believe, or that people might believe, that will cause them to be eternally lost, separated from God in the place of torments? Well, lie number one, there is no God. I'm sure we've all known of or heard of, and certainly we've all heard of, the philosophy, if you want to call it, or religion, if you will, of atheism. There certainly are those who will blatantly tell you that there is no God. They don't believe that there is a God at all. And this is the ultimate lie, or the granddaddy of all lies. And it came from Satan, who is the father of all lies. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. And if you believe this lie, that there is no God, then the devil has you hooked. He has you right where he wants you. What hope does an atheist have of ever going to heaven? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, I'll just read that. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And as many point out, the there is italicized in that passage, which means that the original Hebrew said, no God. No God for me, in other words. So whether they completely disbelieve that there is a God at all, or whether they just refuse to have him as their God, well, either way, it amounts to the same thing, doesn't it? And where we read in Romans 1, verses 21 and 22, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay? When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. And the darkening of the heart is like the hardening of the heart, where men just are allowed to follow after their own natural lusts and unbelieving ways. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11 and 12, where we read, it says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Atheism certainly is one of those lies that will cause men to go to hell. It's a sure way of being damned to eternal hell. So for all who are atheists, if they continue that way, then they are bound for eternal damnation in hell. There's no question about it. But if people won't directly deny the existence of God, then there are many other lies of Satan that you can believe that will also serve that same purpose. And we're going to see some of these now. The second lie that you can believe and cause you to go to hell for eternity is the theory of evolution. One of the great secular lies of recent times that will send your soul to hell is a lie of evolution. I'm going to reread this again in Romans chapter 1, in verse 23 down through 25. And this is speaking about natural man, pretty much the history of natural man and his departure from God, and his declension from God. And verse 23, it says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust that is in their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more, or instead of, and that's really, if you look at the Greek there, it's really what it means, the creature instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, that is more or less what evolution is or does. Worshipping and serving the creature or nature or so-called natural processes rather than worshipping the Creator. And the Bible says that people who believe such nonsense are fools. The foolish heart was darkened. If man got here purely by naturalistic processes, then God is not the Creator, and man is not accountable to God as his Creator. And if God is not our Creator, then man is not a moral being, and he has no moral responsibility or accountability. Right and wrong are what man says is right and wrong, not what God and the Bible says. This particular lie leads to sin of every kind. Travis quoted and read a little bit from Romans 1, and if you just read that entire chapter, there Paul gives a long list of those vile sins that result from denying God as creator. That is why America is overrun with wicked, vile sins today, because over the last 100 or so years, people have been brainwashed into believing in evolution rather than believing in God as a creator and believing in God as the one to whom they will give an account of their sins. In other words, mankind today doesn't believe he's accountable to God, and therefore he just follows after the lusts of his own heart. And we see the evidence and we see the result of that in our world today. That's why the world's full of homosexuality, which is mentioned several times in Romans 1. But not just that. Many, many wicked, vile sins that are just rampant in our land today. They're spreading faster than COVID-19. I'll tell you what, our country just has become so wicked. And we stop and, you know, we might, Christians might stop and say, well, why? How did that ever happen? Well, American people have allowed this wicked teaching of evolution to be taught and brainwashed into their kids' head ever since they were in kindergarten. And we wonder, well, what happened to our country? It's no wonder what happened to our country. But the Bible says that God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, and man chose to sin rather than to obey his creator. And because we are sinners, we will stand before God and give an account of our sins and suffer the consequences of our sins, which the Bible says is eternal death in the lake of fire. Now, it doesn't matter what we believe so much about God and our accountability to God and whether there is a God. The fact of the matter is we're going to stand before a holy God and give an account of our sins. Whether you don't think you are or not, it's not going to change things. You're still going to stand before God and give an account of your wicked sins. And if you go there without the blood of Christ, if you stand before God without the blood of Christ, it's going to mean eternal damnation and hellfire forevermore. No hope of escape. So believing in evolution leads to eternal suffering in hell. You cannot believe in evolution and go to heaven. I believe that. It's contrary to everything that the Bible teaches about God and his creative work. You know, we talk about grace, we talk about a lot of the other precious doctrines of the Word of God, but I'll tell you right now, you're not going to find one subject in the Bible that is taught and mentioned more throughout Old and New Testament in the subject of God's creation. Mark it down. I got my Bible, this old Bible that I marked blue for anything pertaining to God's creation. I got more blue in here than I do green. Green is for grace. Red is for pertaining to the second coming of Christ. I got several, my color codes, you know. But I got more blue than anything. God has more to say about his special creation than any other subject that I know of. Third lie, and this one you might kind of laugh at, but it's not as funny as it sounds. Third lie is there are UFOs from outer space and life on other planets. You know, that it sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But this is a very popular lie today. I don't know if you look at the Google News or whatever on your phone, but there is something in just about every time I open that up, there's something new or something about, you know, that pertains to life on other planets or something pertaining to that subject. It's really fashionable. It's really popular today to think maybe someday we'll go out there and settle on Mars and establish a utopia. You know what, if mankind could go out there and settle on Mars or you know, come up with some new place out in space to start a new existence out there, you know what would happen? Same thing happened here, don't you think? first children be born, first, you know, one would kill the other, and it would go from there, just as it did back in the days of Adam and Eve, and the first, our first parents, when sin entered. Sin is still in the heart of man. I don't care where he goes. There's not going to be no utopia until Jesus Christ comes and establishes a true utopia. And, of course, then sin will be removed from the hearts, and there will be no more sin in the world in that day. All right. Well, it's a very popular teaching, but there's nothing in the Bible that has to say about extraterrestrial life from distant galaxies, except maybe when it talks about stars singing or about the choir of heavenly angels singing praise and glory to God. But this is not extraterrestrial life from other planets, as the world wants to think it exists. Now, I suppose there might be unified sightings of angels and demons that could be part of the strong delusion that God promised us in the last days that Paul wrote about in our text. And during the Great Tribulation period, there's going to be some frightening demonic creatures flying around that are going to attack men and torment them for 5 months. And there's going to be stars falling from heaven and all sorts of strange and terrifying phenomena. But there are no UFOs from other planets coming down to spy on us. That is just a part of the strong delusion to discredit the biblical record and to convince foolish mankind there is no God. Believing that's all the main objective is in all of that nonsense, is try to convince man that there really is no God. Well, the fourth lie, God is the God of love that wouldn't send people to hell. Now, this is a popular lie today among the religious world. They suppose that God is just a big loving God who loves men and accepts them as they are in their sins, and that he doesn't require genuine repentance and faith for salvation and eternal life. And this teaching logically denies that God would ever send sinful man to an eternal hell for their sins. And by the way, there are many super mega churches out there who hold to this kind of view. It's no wonder they're super and omega, because they've denied the scriptures concerning the judgment to come. Beloved, this teaching flies in the face of God's holiness, his righteousness, and his justice. If it was true, then Christ died in vain. His entire first advent would have been useless and without any real purpose. Yes, God does love sinners, and Jesus does love and save sinners, but the Bible says that you must repent of your sins and your sinful ways and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. These people obviously don't read their Bibles. The rich man in Luke 16 lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And there was no getting out of that awful place. No, beloved, the only way to escape the eternal torments of hell is repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for your sins. The fifth lie, that we can be accepted with God by our good works. There are so many so-called Christian organizations today that teach the lie of works for salvation. But once again, they don't read or else don't believe the Bible. The Bible plainly and frequently states that we are not saved by our works of any kind. And I'll just read two of these verses, at least one I know Travis read this morning, but we could find a long list of such verses, but for time I'll just read these two. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Doing good, doing right, trying to keep the law, trying not to break the Ten Commandments. That's all trying to be justified by the law. But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. So-called good works, and I don't believe there's any good works, truly good works, outside of Jesus Christ and faith in him. But that's another subject. The so-called good works never have, nor ever will, save a single soul. All those who believe that lie go out into eternity believing that lie, will spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's not by works, beloved, it's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The sixth lie, there are many ways that lead to heaven, but they all end up in the same place. I heard that one myself, talking to people. This is the great ecumenical lie that makes all religions of the world equal in their quest for eternal bliss. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are sincere. Together we can be one big happy church. Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Hindus, Islams, Mormons, Jehovah's False Witnesses, Shintos, you name it. You're all headed to the same place, right? Wrong. And just to quote our Savior, Jesus said, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are not many ways that lead to heaven, but one. And Jesus said, I am the way. There are not many ways and many roads and many faiths that lead to heaven, but there is only one way, and that way is Jesus by way of his cross. That is, by the way of repentance and faith in his work on the cross for sinners, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the grave to give you eternal life. That is the way. The way of the cross leads home. And that's the only way. That is the only way to heaven. Any other so-called way to heaven is a lie. Well, the seventh lie, and the last lie, we'll see, that sinful man led by the Antichrist and Satan can defeat God. I know that anyone who knows anything about the God of the Bible would think it's absurd to think that mankind or the devil or the combination of all of them could possibly defeat Jesus Christ. But there are people who think that they will. There are going to be, during the tribulation, those who think that they can defeat Christ. The Antichrist will think so. Satan will think so. And mankind at that time will think so. This will be the lie of the great tribulation period. Men in that day will believe. That through Antichrist, as he's led by Satan, that they will be able to defeat Jesus when he comes again. Well, we've got the conclusion of the matter right here, don't we? Just turn over to Revelation 19 and 20, both those chapters, particularly chapter 19 of Revelation. And you read those chapters and you find out they're wrong. You find out Jesus, the mighty Son of God, comes back to this earth riding upon a white horse, and out of the mouth comes a sharp sword, and he destroys the Antichrist and all kingdoms of this world by his mighty power. As I like to say, not a shot was fired. Not an arrow had to fly. The Lord Jesus Christ just destroyed them all by the word that goes out of his mouth. All Jesus has to do is say, take the breath away! And all men will just die and lay there as corpses. What, you don't believe that? Read back in the Old Testament, you find that God did that very thing with armies of hundreds of thousands of men who lie in wait to destroy Israel. God killed every one of them. Just took their breath away. Woke up in the morning and left fields
dead corpses. Sounds, might sound hard, might sound cruel, but he has that power. He gives life and he takes it away at his will. Sinful man certainly will not be any match for the mighty Lord Jesus Christ who's come. Like I said, it won't even be a battle. It won't even be a battle. Not a shot will be fired, as it were. Not a missile will fly toward our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He'll just speak the word, and that will be it. Jesus will have total, complete, and final victory over mankind and the Antichrist, and then in chapter 20, over Satan. The truth is, there is no contest. Only fools could think they possibly could defeat the sovereign, almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in conclusion this morning, that finally there is one other lie that men believe that won't send them to hell in and of itself, but it will keep them from serving God acceptably in this life. And that is a lie that Jesus didn't build his local, visible New Testament church that he put into the world to give him glory and to perpetuate his kingdom on earth. And that he promised that church perpetuity until he comes again for it. The lie that Jesus didn't build his church, that he didn't keep his church, that he's not with his church until the end of the age, as he promised in Matthew 28. That is a lie that many have swallowed. That is the only kind of church that Jesus built, and the only kind of church that he accepts and calls his church. Are you saved this morning and a part of his church? If not, you must believe the gospel and that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you, according to the scriptures. And that you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism in his church to identify with Christ and his church. I hope and pray you're saved this morning. But if you're saved, then you need to be a part of his church. And you become a part of his church by following the Lord in scriptural baptism. And may God bless that to your hearts. If you're here and you're saved but not a member, or if you're here and you're lost, I pray God would open your hearts to receive Jesus Christ as your only hope for eternal life. Now, we don't encourage people just to believe on Jesus Christ and receive him by faith just to escape hell. That's a sideline. That's a benefit of being saved. That's not the first and most important aspect of being saved. Just as not, you know, the gospel isn't just a fire escape. It is a fire escape, but it's certainly a lot more than just a fire escape. Being saved isn't just not going to hell. It's living an eternal life with Jesus Christ in glory and all the bliss of that wonderful, glorious kingdom for all eternity. It's far more than just a fire escape. Have you believed a lie this morning, that there is no God, that we got here by evolution? We've been taught that in school. Throw it out. It's a lie. That there is extraterrestrial life and other planets who visit us in flying saucers. Not lately, I haven't been taught. That God is only a God of love and wouldn't send sinners to hell. That you can be saved by your good works. That there are many ways to heaven, and that all lead to the same place. Or that sinful man and Satan can defeat Christ at his coming. These are all lies. All lies in which people believe. Actually believe these things. And by believing in them, they are assuring themselves of eternal damnation in hell. What did Paul say? For this cause God shall send in strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They should believe a lie. A lot of people believing a lie today, that they all might be damned, to who believe not the truth. What is the truth? Specifically, Paul is referring to the gospel of Jesus and his coming to this earth to save his people from their sins through the work on the cross. Because he went on in verse 13, 14, he said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. He said, I bet we're bound to thank you. He said, we give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's the means. That's the vehicle which God uses to bring men out of their sinful depravity into seeing the truth of salvation in Christ through belief in the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been called by our gospel? Paul's gospel, Peter's gospel, Jesus' gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's the means that God uses to call men out of darkness into light. Call men out of a destiny of believing a lie and spending eternity in hell to believing the truth unto everlasting life with him in glory. What a difference. What a blessing. Have you believed that gospel? All right, that's all we have. We'll stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer.